That's right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to crosstalk with the fellas of Payne and Pendergast today, including the great Sean Bajani, who, again, as he mentioned, during tomorrow's radio Reggie and Ron Radiothon, he'll help close us out. Seth will help start us up. And all the way in between, we'll be raising money for the Houston Food Bank. I'm super excited for that. Luke Morrow, you'll be involved in that as well. You're sitting in for the OG John Lopez today, though. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. Good to be here. Looking forward to joining you guys tomorrow as well for a great cause and what you're doing. But in the meantime, looking forward to hanging out with you for the next few hours. Plenty to get to between now and then.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Figgy Fig, as always. Fig, how are we feeling about Luke Morrow today? What kind of odd take you think we're going to get off? Because he gets that hating in there, man. Like, yeah. he is a high-level hater, Luke Morrow.
I feel like we're going to get something during the question of the day.
Yeah,
I think somebody's going to bring up some type of restaurant in the house, and he's going to be like, oh, they're vastly overrated.
Okay,
that Steak 48, oh, overrated.
I can see it in his eyes. He's got one perk.
Yeah. It looked like comment. I might have hit a nerve there.
Yeah. We just started. I have to refrain. We got to get a little deeper into the show.
That's fair. Four hours. We can't get all the hate out up front. If you got hate or anything else that you want to get out during the course of this program, there's a few ways to get involved with it. There is the text line, 713-572-4610. Let us know what you're thinking, how you feeling. And then also, there's always available the Mocarum Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. We know where we got to start. The Astros get the first game of a three-game set in Colorado. It wasn't pretty, but a win is a win. Colton Gordon, you know, got a little roughed up.
Yeah.
But did enough. And thanks to Victor Caratini with a big grand slam, his second of the season, the Astros put up enough runs to get over the Rockies. And we'll talk more about that. But I think the biggest thing that came out yesterday wasn't even the game. It was before the game. We got Dana Brown, and whenever you hear Dana Brown in these airwaves, it's either really good or really bad. And let me tell you, it's not the good variety. Here's Dana Brown talking about an update with DH Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez came into, you know, you guys saw him swinging a bat Saturday at our home ballpark, driving balls all over the place. The plan was to get him down to, spring training site in West Palm Beach on Sunday. So he flew down Sunday. Yesterday did some baseball activities, and then today showed up, and his hand was sore again. And so now at this point, we're going to pause with this setback and, get him to see another specialist and take it from there. And so, look, it's, it's tough time going through this with Yordan, but I know that he's, still feeling pain in the soreness in his hand, and so we're not going to try to push it or force him through anything. We're just going to, allow him to heal and get a little bit more answers as to, what steps we take next.
We're here again. Luke, we are here again, and I have to raise my hand. I'm the sucker. I was like, look, man, he's getting out here. He's swinging the bat.
I told you this, man.
You did.
I was like, man, I'm not excited because all the whole batting cages and taking swings and all that stuff. I'm like, nah, I will feel better once he's inside the game.
And it seems like there's going to be some time before he's inside the game. He's shut down again. And at this point, I mean, the Astros, and I hate to say it so bluntly, they look like fools, man.
Yeah.
Like, this. There is such a long line of like mishandling of injuries, especially with some of the best players on your team. We can go back to a number of them, and we've talked about it time and time again. And now again, here you are, Yordan Alvarez. Like this is a severe problem. Like where does your mind go immediately when it comes to the latest update with Yordan now being shut down?
Well, my first reaction when it came across my phone yesterday was I literally laughed out loud because it's a joke. It's predictable as well. But yeah, to your point, I mean, this has been obviously a thing with the Astros, and they always say like once is an outlier, twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern, and we're well beyond three times over the recent years with this organization, how they've handled these injuries. And this is like Kyle Tucker all over again last year. And the thing is, not only is it annoying when it drags out and we have these setbacks and maybe some misdiagnosis as well, but also when it's like one of your most important hitters. If it was all due respect to anybody else on the roster, but like a Dubon, it's not as big of a deal as when it's Kyle Tucker and you're waiting all of last season for him to come back. And now same with Jordan this year, who has already been out for 2 months. I don't know if we're going to see him again in the regular season or at least until the very end of the regular season. If anything, at this point, they can't rule out surgery yet. That would be probably the nail in the coffin for his 2025 campaign. And it's ridiculous. I think the comments don't help either, where Dana Brown comes out on Monday.
Yes.
And says, like, hey, there's a chance he might play this weekend. And then within 24 hours, is like, oh, actually, you know what? There's a pretty good chance he might not play again this whole year. And I know they've been under fire for like a lack of transparency and because of this whole issue and how they treat these guys. But even like with Pena, I believe Espada said over the weekend that he didn't break any ribs or anything. And then you get he's in the lineup originally Sunday. He gets scratched. And then, you know, on Monday, it's like, oh, actually, he has a fractured rib. He's going to be out. It's almost like I know us fans want to hear something, but it's almost better to just keep your mouth shut until we actually know truly what's until we're at the doorstep, because you just set yourself up to look even worse when you give these reports. And I know it's bad luck on their end with the setback, but man, not even 24 hours later, we're gearing up for maybe Jordan playing against the Dodgers, and now it's like, oh, actually, might not see him again until next season.
So I hear your take on that, the idea that, you know, hey, you look bad with the transparency. My issue is not with the transparency. My issue is the idea that as you are being transparent, it's very evident that you are mishandling this on some level. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an accounting and a level of audit of the entire medical practice. Because I think you were saying it earlier, like, hey, if it was Dubon, it wouldn't necessarily be as bad or what have you. I think it's bad in all those instances, and I'm not saying that you didn't, but I think it should be illuminating to you when it happens with a star. And this is not the first, nor the second, nor the third time that it's happened with a star. And those are these should be the things that make you pump the brakes and go, wait. We need to make sure that it never happens again, that we lose a star player for an extended period of time because of something we did. Right, if it's the happenstance of injury that happens in sports just generally, you have to live with that. I don't know if you like living it with it, but you have to. You don't have to live with losing a star player, a high caliber player, a player that means a lot to your team, despite the fact that you can find a way to get wins outside of it. Like, that's neither here nor there. You should not have to live an extra week, an extra 2 weeks, an extra month without a player that you need to be the best version of yourself, because of something that you did or something that you were incapable of doing, which is evident either on the medical staff is incapable of adequately diagnosing and, you know, getting proper imaging or, you know, doing that, or something in the front office or the management structure is not able to use the adequate amount of caution or able to. Somewhere in this, there is a breakdown that is very evident, because you mentioned time and time again. And the real problem is not even just that there's a breakdown, is that as a management structure, you have not stopped and rooted out that inefficiency to make sure that this doesn't keep happening. And maybe you could say, hey, Jordan Alvarez is injury prone, but is also Kyle Tucker injury prone? Is also, you know, Bregman? How many guys are we going to look to and go, okay, well, they're injury prone, as opposed to, all right, but we're also not helping them be the best version of themselves, be the healthiest versions of themselves. And this is super problematic for an organization that in all other facets you look at and you probably go, usually runs pretty well.
For sure. Yeah, this is the outlier. And it is very vexing that they haven't been able to figure this out or nip it in the bud. And I've said it before, like, even all the way up to the top, where if you're ownership, like, you're wasting money on these guys. Your best players are missing so much time. Jordan's another one where you're just paying for him to be on the sidelines. And so forget the whole on-the-field performance of trying to win games and put your best lineup out there and being frustrated, like, hey, what's going on here, where we've had these two setbacks? He's taking batting practice, and then turns out it's something more serious, and now Jordan's going to be out even longer. That hurts the team on the field, but if I'm ownership, it's like, I'm spending a lot of money on these players, and it almost seems like we're costing them to miss even more time, which then costs me more money. Like, where's my money going towards these guys just being on the sidelines, let alone the cost for rehab and everything else? So I am curious that something hasn't been done. The injury-prone conversation, I think, is a separate conversation. We could have the conversation with the Astros. I think it's a separate conversation. You know, I know, like, The Athletic did an article about the Dodgers and how they always have these pitcher injuries, and it's kind of how they treat their pitchers. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something similar at the Astros, but that's a separate conversation because, to your point, we don't see these issues of the delayed comebacks with these other teams. Every other team in the league has injuries, but I don't recall, and maybe this is recency bias or just being here covering the Astros, I don't recall another team in recent years where you could point to back-to-back years where it seems like they've botched these injuries with these star players, that the initial diagnosis wasn't so bad, like a couple weeks, then it turns out they're gone for the majority of the season. I don't think it happens elsewhere as often as it happens here. And so that's where people can say, they're injury prone, so on and so forth. But the delays in the return, McCullers missing 3 years. J.P. France, even at this point, it's been already over a year, and he's still working his way back. You know, there's just these delays that you don't seem to deal with at least as frequently with other teams as you certainly do here in Houston.
Yeah, from the 346, you guys are all doom and gloom, always complaining. The team is doing fine. They're winning. What's your problem? Injuries happen. Get over it. I think you can hold space for multiple things in this. I think in the same breath, I will absolutely give the Astros credit for having a MO that is capable to sustain winning in this season in the way that they have. And honestly, even last year, finding a way to get the wins back after they got themselves in a little bit of a hole, despite injuries. However, we can also acknowledge that as injuries happen, just because the injuries happen don't mean that they have to be sustained for as long as they do. And that is a misstep by this organization. That is a problem with this organization. And then imagine how much more dominant, how much better they would be if they had that fixed, if they had that patched up, if they were more efficient in that way. And I mean, I think that is just what an organization is supposed to do. You're supposed to, as much as you can, facilitate the best environment for your players to go out and win baseball games. And in this one critical way, especially when we talk about the best ability being availability, you are dropping the ball as an organization. You are failing your team and your players. And in a way, I think that, you know, the audience, the fans should look at that as failing your fan base by not giving them the opportunity to go out and see Yordan on any given day. Like, because, again, this is a far-flung issue. Obviously, you want to make sure to be able to get guys on the field to be able to win. But there's also a business aspect of this that you're kind of cheating yourself on as well, which is, hey, people come out to see the star players. Obviously, people come out to see the Strohs and the name on the front, but also the name on the back is not nothing. And you've missed a lot of time for those type of guys and guys that maybe would be, you know, the way that we were looking at in Happy Hunter Brown Day, because it is one of those, like the way that we would look at it, Hunter Brown is pitching today. How much more would you have that if it's like, all right, well, I know Yordan is playing today and, you know, the likes of the many various pitchers that you have had that have missed time rehabbing in this system. Like, how much more would you have of that as well for the Astros, of folks being turning up and being excited to see the baseball team above just the fact that they're a good baseball team, but also that their favorite player is actually out there on the field?
Yeah, which also goes back to what I was saying about, like, the ownership. With this starting at the top of something should be done. It's costing you money in more than one way, and potentially it could cost you games. I know right now they're playing really well, but you can only take on so much water. And it's also kind of like that cliche that I know you guys use a lot around here of, what is it? You can't ignore in victories what you wouldn't in whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. What you ignore in defeat.
In defeat, something like that. Like, yeah. Even though they're playing well, just because your marriage seems happy doesn't mean you should ignore your spouse's complaints, because eventually it might catch up to you.
Mm.
So it's similar at the Astros.
Therapist Luke, that's, I like
right.
that.
Yeah, so it's similar here at the Astros, where yeah, they're more than treading water, but they're holding serve right now. But eventually, these things could catch up to you. And obviously, you want your best players out on the field. That's why you're paying them. And specifically, when it comes to the playoff time, I think there's a big difference between getting through the regular season and then getting through the playoffs, where the pitching becomes so much better, the hitting becomes tougher. And if this injury goes so far that you don't even have Yordan for the playoffs, there's a difference between beating the Rockies and the Mariners and the Angels in the summer compared to going up against the best teams in baseball in October and not having your best hitter simply because of maybe, allegedly, potentially, like, malpractice. That's a real problem for this organization.
It's a little frustrating for me, because even with the Yordan hand thing, I'm wondering if they would have, I guess, because it seemed like they were trying to stash him a little bit, like, oh, he'd be out for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks or something, like, maybe 2 weeks. I wonder if they actually would have did all the right procedures and all that stuff and say, you know what, he got a broken hand or whatever it is, let's get the surgery, whatever was going on now, mm-hmm. get it out the way early, and maybe he could have came back maybe later this season or something like that. But it seemed like they kind of hold off for so long, and I'm kind of worried they're going to do the same thing with Pena, with the fractured rib, and he said he might be back next week and all this other stuff. It's just like, hold on, man. Like, that's a fractured rib.
Yeah.
It might not be broke. I know there's a difference between broken and fractured or whatever, but I'm just kind of wondering, you know, like, let's cross all the T's and dot the I's before we try to rush people back like that.
That's kind of the point I was making earlier, too, is, like, some of the movies I like most are the ones I went into with the lowest expectations, then vice versa. Some of the movies that I view as, like, such a disappointment because I had such high expectations. When you set the bar at a certain point of, like, hey, Yordan might play this weekend against the Dodgers when he's still just, you know, he's still working his way back. Or like you said, Figgy, like Pena, he might only need the 10 days. And then fast forward, he's probably going to be out. Like Correa missed 50 games with his rib. You know, Pena might be out the next 2 months for all we know. There's no need to put that out there and set the bar there, because then when you do have these setbacks, even if you do everything right and the athlete still suffers a setback, it just makes you look worse because you already put out to the fans and the media that there's a chance he could be back later this week. Pena might be back within 10 days. And then it's like, well, it's been 2 months. What happened here? Your original comments said this was going to be a short-term injury.
Yeah, at this point, I think they probably should have took the D'Amico Ryans approach when talking about Christian Harris.
Yeah.
And said, I'll let y'all know when we get an update.
Maybe. Like, me personally, I don't really love that, but I understand how, from a team perspective, you could be like, hey, this is making us look bad, as opposed to a different level of, if people are frustrated because they don't know, mm-hmm. it's different than people being frustrated because we overpromise and ultimately underdelivered. Right. But I think for me, I hope that I end up in a place where I can understand that setbacks happen. However, the continual preponderance of these setbacks happening makes me look and go, are you sure that you are not the common denominator here and that it's not some variable within your house that you need to, you know, look through and see if you get fixed up? And the thing that really scares me more than anything about this, obviously people will be like, hey, this is a Yordan issue or what have you. Ultimately, however that breaks down, because I do think that needs to be evaluated. The thing for me is I know that this team can find a way to win games in, you know, in the stead of these guys being out. But with the way that this has gone and the timing of it, I don't know that this isn't like, is this discomfort just additional discomfort, or is this another break or a worsening of the break that then pushes him further where you miss him not just for the rest of the season? I need him back when you're playing postseason baseball.
Yeah.
I need Pena back when you're playing postseason baseball, mm-hmm. because all of the wins are fine and good, but when you get to a place where it's just, you know, nut up time and it's just a few games against the best teams in baseball, do you have your best foot forward? And the way that this is being handled makes me wonder if, like, is there a hamate bone injury that then pushes him further out where now we're talking about possibly being back for the postseason, as opposed to definitely being back for the season, ramping up and getting himself to a place where he's playing the best baseball heading into the postseason.
100%. You don't want to go into the playoffs with Cooper Hummel and Mauricio Dubon as your everyday players.
With all due respect to those gentlemen.
Yes, of course, always. So for sure. And I think, yeah, the whole organization, this whole process needs to be audited internally and figure out where the hole is in all of this that's leading to these issues. But then just to put a bow, like I said, I think it's also along those lines. With that said, along with the internal audit, it's also sometimes better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open it and remove all doubt. And the Astros do that as well along the way.
All right, we're getting going on a Wednesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Still a victory worth noting versus the Colorado Rockies. Shout out to Victor Caratini for another grand slam on the season. We'll talk more about that as we continue going. But coming up next, let's talk about the Rockets, because a lot of people out there, like Brian Windhorst, are absolutely picking the Rockets as the clear-cut offseason winner so far. Is that actually a good thing? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Adetula. Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez. And then, of course, Figgy Fig, as always, Rock with you. Appreciate you getting involved on the text line. 713-572-4610, as well as the MoCam Injury Lawyer live streams. Even if you think that we are Debbie Downers, or if we're just all negative, I'm...
I didn't know he was being Debbie Downers.
I'm going to be completely
honest. I thought we just talking about the story.
I am... Please, let us know, because I genuinely want to have the conversation amongst folks that view differently. The idea that, you know, where do you have a positive perspective this?
Maybe we should have just put that on the back burner.
I mean, it's your biggest bat who you were looking at possibly getting back, as you mentioned, Luke, Dana Brown, the general manager, rather, is what I was looking for, of this team, kind of put it out there that in the next three series you could possibly see him return. And then a day later, we're talking about him being shut down from baseball activities. Like, that is a notable thing. And
that's no big deal, man. They got the win last night.
Which they did.
Who cares?
You add the additional context of this is not the first nor the second time nor the third time that you've had a particular setback. And again, injuries are hit and miss type thing. It's not an exact science, and I give grace for that. However, if you have bad luck all the damn time, at some point, I don't think we can just call it bad luck. That we have to maybe look at what is attributing to that. And I think that that's a fair thing to bring up. Tell me if I'm wrong on the text line, 713-572-4610. Also, tell me if I'm wrong on this regard. The Rockets, obviously, doing some big things. I think we have been very fond of what their offseason has looked like with obviously the addition of Kevin Durant, but also in addition to that, Dorian Finney-Smith as a 3-and-D player, the acquisition of Clint Capella as another big on this team. It feels like they are doubling down on what they found yesterday, or what they found last year, rather, in being a long team that can defend, and obviously a team that gets offensive rebounds and wins on the boards. But and with all of that, there's a lot of people around the NBA sphere with the additional attention that KD brings to the team going, this team is the offseason winner, or at least one of them. And now, you know, they are on notice to be champions, and we've talked about them in somewhat similar spaces. But, Luke, is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's I guess this might just be like my neurosis, but I always dislike when you're talking about teams that win the offseason and setting up these expectations. The Rockets have the second-best odds now to win the NBA title this upcoming year, and since we haven't had a repeat champion in so long, the Thunder are the favorites, but you know, maybe by default, you could almost slide the Rockets into number one because of all the parity in the league right now. And yeah, it's just a concern because you could point to a lot of teams, a lot of examples across the major sports over the years that when we do give them the off-season title, it doesn't lead to regular season success. And the classic example, different sport, but you know, when the Eagles made all these moves before the 2011 season to the point where they called themselves a dream team.
Yeah, I recall that.
And then they went 500 that year.
Was that the team with Vince Young?
Exactly. Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Yeah. And so that's just one example. You know, I mean, everyone was very high on the Texans offseason last year, and then, you know, it didn't lead to the same, and that's a whole other conversation. That's a deeper conversation, but we could point to a lot of examples. So it's just that concern of when the hype gets too high and you get excited over what's happening in the offseason and things that aren't being done on the court in this instance, and still can overlook maybe some of the concerns or some of the flaws. And when the buzz gets real, I think part of it too is that I could be a contrarian, and so I automatically dislike things that become very popular. And
I'm with you, buddy.
I'm all about the Rockets. I love the Rockets offseason. But then I almost get a little worried when everyone's talking about like, hey, this team is great. What a great offseason. And it makes me worried that it's almost like a jinx on them now because of the hype that they're getting this offseason from a lot of national figures.
Stay low and build, man.
And there's a lot of people that will subscribe to the nature of a jinx. I think the people feel you on that perspective. And I think if you've heard me over the entirety of this week, last couple of days with Chris Partee, I have been vocal about a couple of things that I think are, I don't know, I'm watching, right? Whether it's like, hey, the guard space of, okay, do you have the real lateral quickness in order to deal with a team that maybe would possess a couple of guards, or, you know, that would have a little bit of opportunity to move around, especially if like a man would have to guard up or what have you. That might be me looking at the small things and trying to pick a hole in what is built here. The thing that I keep looking at, though, is you're adding more pieces. I think it becomes a larger onus on the coaching staff to be able to build an apparatus that would allow this team to score more points. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I use to kind of maybe wipe that away and maybe lean into the idea that I think this is a good thing and we don't have to fear this too much is, again, what I started with. This team is doubling down on a recipe that they already had, right? It's not like some of those other teams that we're talking about throwing back to, where it feels like they're changing up what they're doing in order to try and go bigger, right? They're not bringing in, I mean, although they are bringing in a new player and a couple of new players, they're not bringing in a different dynamic of player and trying to put this in a different space. This isn't the 2010 Heat, even though they ended up being like a good basketball team, where they're like, hey, we're building something and we will need to figure it out over the time. There is going to be some figuring out, as there is with any season, but they're still leaning into the core principles that they had last year and trying to do them better. Like, they want to be an incredible defensive team that leads with defense. They're doing that at a better level. I mean, there's a lot of people that are looking at the possibility of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith as an upgrade to what you're talking about. Obviously, Kevin Durant as an upgrade offensively. But then not just having one, you didn't start last season with the double big situation. You figured that out as the season went along. And you refined that, got it better. Steven Adams, we know, has some load management things. So you go, hey, let's bring in another center that we can continue to do that with at a higher level. It feels like they're just going to keep doing the same thing, but better. And that feels like that has less room for a breakdown in trying to, you know, scale up. I still think that that does leave room for, are those weaknesses that you had, are they still there? Are they places that people can pick at, especially that now you're no longer the hunter, you're the hunted?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like that notion of, we're just scaling up what we already did, which means that there's going to be less problems in trying to figure that out, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, and it's one that I did acknowledge to myself, this idea of, like you said, they weren't a bad team that went out to make these big moves to have to be try to become good. They were already the number two seed. It wasn't necessarily like trying to pair Kawhi and Paul George together and hoping it works, or even Durant and Harden and Kyrie and Brooklyn, and like, okay, we're going to take this bad team, bring these stars in, Pierce and Garnett and Brooklyn, and suddenly we're going to be good. Oof. This Rockets team was already good as the two seed and now just trying to get better. So that is a big difference. If you go and you look at like the teams that spend the most in the offseason, usually they're bad teams and then they just continue to be bad even though we hype up the offseason that they had. Turns out they're still just bad rosters and bad organizations. So the Rockets don't have that, which is an advantage. And I do like the Rockets offseason, but I just feel... or fear, I guess, that by leaning so much into the size that they have ignored that guard position. And it's something I talked about on these airwaves multiple times last week after getting Durant, that I still wanted some addition to the guard position. But it seems like they're going all in. They're really leaning into the double big, or even potentially you could say triple big lineups, and all of the size that they have, which is great. But I guess I would say I would want to make sure all bases are covered instead of kind of swinging the pendulum too far in one direction.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. The thing that I've been trying to tamp down, that little red light that blinks with me, which again, as a fellow contrarian, I feel you. But I think that the thing I'm trying to lean into is you do have guys like Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Dorian Finney-Smith now that seem like they have a decent amount of lateral quickness that I think if you utilize those guys in a particular way, you should be able to guard on the perimeter and be able to handle that. I'm still looking at where do you get the ability to like drive and dribble penetrate. And then are you going to be able to set up the likes of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith and Fred VanVleet if he's off ball, and then even Kevin Durant if he's off ball, maybe in more of a shooter situation in those instances, with guys that can be those playmakers? Because that was one of the things that you were asking last year. And I think that Kevin Durant can do some of that, but I don't know how much you want to place on him in order to be your creator. And obviously Fred will come in and do that. You're asking Reed Sheppard, I imagine, to do a little bit more of that. There's still some questions there, as I think there is with any team. It's a salary, or not a salary cap sport, but they're trying to basically build more of prohibitive measures to make it pseudo salary capped in a way. With the soft cap and the ways that they're making that a little bit harder, you're always going to have inefficiencies. That's ultimately what I'm trying. It's like football, right? In the NFL, with a hard cap, there it's built to make you so that you are not going to be impervious. So I'm trying to remember that as the Rockets build a team. You're not going to have an impervious roster, but you have a pretty damn good one where you can see the path to being a very good basketball team, and that might be most of what you can ask for at this time period.
Yeah, this team's going to be really good. Like, don't twist my words. They're going to be better than last year. They are going to be one of the best teams in the league. I really like what they've done this offseason. It's a deep roster. It's a really good roster. It's just that when you hear these people say, Rockets won the offseason, or Rockets are the team to beat in the West, and it's like, it just worries me a little bit of getting wrapped up in the excitement and ignoring the fact that, you know, we've never seen a 37-year-old or older lead a team to a championship. Not saying Durant can't do it, but it would be the first time that it happened. So it would still be a unique scenario if they get to that ultimate goal. It's going to be a really good team. Just part of me, I guess it's my being neurotic. I get worried when everyone talks about how good this offseason, how good this roster looks. Makes me worried for what's actually going to play out.
So what happens if I reframe it as a 22-year-old or 23? No, yeah, 22-year-old. Or no, he'll be 23. He'll be 23. Got to do my math properly. Alperen Şengün leading a team to a championship. See, all you got to, you just got to reframe. that's right. All you got to do. Because, I mean, that's an all-star who obviously has an opportunity to grow, especially with better support around him. Because I feel like I have not acknowledged enough how Alperen Şengün obviously was really good and still has opportunity to develop with this team. But either way, I think we can at the very least bask in the excitement and the joy of this in the time period. And as we get closer to when we have to play basketball, maybe we can lean more into some of the questions and concerns that we have. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610-713. They need to keep Cam Whitmore. I mean, look, I would absolutely see that, but I wouldn't want you to keep him if you're not going to use him, right? Like, that's the question that I have, and I think that would remain to be seen with the dynamics between him and Ime Udoka. But coming up next in the loop, let's get to our question of the day, as we always do at this time. And inspired by Tony Parker having a full-on restaurant in his house, what 24/7 business would you want in your home? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. All right, let's get to the question of the day here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What 24-hour business would you want in your home? 713-572-4610. I'm Reginald Latula. That is Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez, who has the week off. He is, I think, He's out there in the hill country, I think.
I have no idea. I think he's taking like a little family.
Yeah, a little family vacay.
Like a whole family with the grandkids and all that stuff, the children.
I expect nothing less. He's a family man.
You know what I'd be wanting to do whenever we say so-and-so is out? I like what Area 45 do.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever somebody's out, like Patrick Creighton be like, yeah, Sean is off because he's lazy. I just like to, we got to start doing that. Lopez is all being lazy.
That's better than what I've seen other people do, which is they just be lying on him. It's like, oh man, he had terrible diarrhea. And he had to,
hey, we can do that too.
All right, that probably doesn't tie in nicely with this. I probably shouldn't have done that. But the 24-hour business you would want in your home. The reason why this comes up is apparently the streamer Kai Cenat, who, look, if you got a kid, they might know about him. This has gotten really big in a way that I still don't fully understand. But hey, I guess it's not for me to understand. Got a big following, and as he was streaming live, him and his homeboys apparently were at Tony Parker's house. Why? I don't know. I just know that this was happening. And he's walking around showing off, basically doing a modern version of MTV Cribs.
Yeah.
And he ends up out on like kind of the back patio of sorts, and you turn the corner, and here is a Nando's restaurant. In fact, this is what it sounds like on the stream when Kai Cenat discovers it.
I don't think I've seen this ever in my life. We got a 24-hour Nando's restaurant at the crib.
Hey.
Shout out to Nando's.
Hey, I need that right now.
24-hour Nando's at the house.
Nando's at the house. And I like in an instant, my very not rich brain was like, what? How does that work? How do they staff this? And of course, if you're a rich person, you don't think about such things. You're just like, I want this in my house. I don't know why Tony Parker needs this, but I guess why does anybody need anything? So let's get into that space of if you could break your way from the need of it or what have you. What business, what entity would you want in your house 24 hours? Because I feel like this could be a real boon to your life and your lifestyle if you pick the right thing.
Yeah, I was kind of influenced by the crosstalk earlier. Some of the texts that have come in on it are really good. But my original thought, I'll stick to my guns. I was actually going to say like an urgent care or some sort of health facility. Now, if you're rich enough to have this in your home, I guess you don't need to worry about that so much because you should, you know, have good health care and go to the doctor. You can spend money to go to the doctors as often as you need. But I can be a little, again, neurotic, I guess, when it comes to like health stuff. So it'd be nice to be able to just get like, you know, get checked out, get that peace of mind anytime. And also, there was an instance a couple years ago where I dislocated my finger in the middle of the night and I had to go to the ER. And then you're just sitting there for like an hour or two. And I had to wait till like 3 a.m. to get my finger put back in place. It'd be nice if I could just pop over to the other room over there. Bang, they fix you up. You're back to doing whatever you're doing.
Are you a hypochondriac?
A little bit.
Okay. So I was like, if it is, if you are a hypochondriac, that kind of would be a good way to do. Like, we could just quell this fear immediately. Right? It's worthwhile for you, even if it's somewhat unnecessary and you probably could utilize something else. It's just like, look, peace of mind is worth more than anything.
Absolutely.
I bet that doctor would hate you, though. That doctor would be like, all right, all right, Luke, what is it
what
now?
What do he want?
No, that's a pretty sweet gig, though. He's in one spot. He's only got one patient to worry about. He could do
that
whatever
nice.
He wants all day. And
the
then
paperwork would be a lot
while,
easier.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll pop in and be like, is this something? Do I have cancer? What's going on? And I was like, no, it's nothing.
Just a mole, buddy.
Yeah.
And same mole that we saw last year.
You good, right. man.
All right. On with our day.
Some other things that have come in on the text line from the 832 24-hour dispensary. Well, I mean, look. That'll save you some hassle. You don't got to go out the house. You don't got to move around. You don't end up in that situation I imagine some people end up in where they're like, all right, time to get this popping. And then you're like, oh, don't got any product for myself. So, yeah, that's tough. Obviously, food is going to be a big one here from the 281. Ramen Del Barrio. Okay, very good. Somebody said Whataburger 24/7. Ooh, I like what's happening here. 832, Lids Locker Room.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Like, you know, if you're a sports fan, especially if you're one of the sports fans that likes to really put on, like, I want to do jerseys, I want to do hats, I want to do, imagine if you could just walk in and it's basically a team store in there and you can get that or like,
yeah,
if it's like a Foot Locker, take it to a different level, get a whole bunch of sneakers in there. Like, oh, I like what we're doing there. We're making just a different level of closet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, if you're rich, you could just already purchase all that stuff. and just turn that room into a closet. Get a Taco Bell in there as well.
From the 832 at Pluckers 24/7, because I be wanting wings at 7 a.m. That's a great point. There are some places that you just, some things that you just can't get at like 2 o'clock in the morning, although should you be having those things at 2 o'clock in the morning? That's a different question. There's some things it's just like, I would like to be able to get this at this time of hour.
Yeah.
What would it be for you, Fizz?
So the first thing I thought about, I wanted something in the house that won't really stink up the house as much, or you might not get tired of the smell as much, but I would like some type of coffee spot. I don't want to say Starbucks because I've been working there for so long and I'm tired of it, but my favorite coffee spot, I would like to have my favorite coffee spot in there. That way I wake up in the morning and you could smell that coffee each time. You could just go over there, get whatever you want. Some other things I was thinking about was a barbershop. Yeah, I would love to have like just the whole barbershop setting and just one chair right there just for me. So that way I could just walk in just in some slides and some pajamas and just get my hair cut real quick.
That one is huge, because I don't even know if it's like the driving or the distance that it would take for you to get to wherever. It's the scheduling.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like, especially in the city of Houston where we got a bajillion people in here, like any barber, they're all largely booked and busy. So like getting in to book, or I mean, take it a different level. I just got my hair braided. Like if you also have like Figgy and you're doing twists or what have you.
Yeah.
You having to schedule not just a barber, but, a hairstylist or what have you. And doing all that scheduling is not always the easiest. Imagine if there is one person that is always there for you whenever you need them.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
It's true. How often do you guys go to the barber? Like, if you had one in the house, how often would you use it?
Oh, that'd be a weekly occurrence.
Yeah.
If I had that level of access?
Yeah. Me, personally, I try to go every other week.
Oh, okay.
But if it was in my house, I'd probably do at least every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, every Monday morning or something like that.
Oh, okay. See, now we're finding ways to work the system to our benefit. From the 979, Shipley's, shout out, that's real Houston establishment. Obviously, we can get some other Houston establishments in here. Another person said Chick-fil-A, so it's open on Sundays. Look at that, heady play.
This one, I kind of think, I've been thinking about this one too. I would like to have some type of hookah lounge.
Oh.
Some type of hookah lounge with maybe some regular bar food and all that stuff. I could just go in there.
And then a respiratory therapist to come with it.
There's the hypochondriac.
Just going to be smoking hookah every day. Get out of here.
Not a lot of people go. Well, at least I had not thought a lot about like entertainment situations where some people went there, because a number of people said massage, which I guess is not entertainment or what have you. But then people in true Houston fashion were like, booty club. Give me the strip club
yeah.
at the house, which I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate it as an idea.
They did show, I want to say it was like a $50 million mansion at one point on YouTube or something like that. And they actually had a nightclub in there, in the mansion.
If you have a strip club in your house, how does that work? Like, do the girls have to dance 24/7 even if there's no one there?
I feel like
or
you
can
let them
kind of
chill
on
out.
Call.
Yeah, I feel like they chill out until it's time to go to work, right? And then also, at
or
that
it could
point,
be a thing where the club is being ran on its own. And, you know, just like a regular club, but it's in your house.
Oh,
and then that way you could just pop up whenever you want to.
I don't want those customers coming in and out of my house.
that was one of the appeals. Like, I don't have to be next to some of the seedy folks that end up at the strip club as well. Someone said Frenchie's, Papacito's comes up. Yeah, love that.
Frenchie's is a good one.
Yes, it's a very good one. And then someone said, Figgy, it'd be real funny if you go to the house barbershop and they still ask you if you got an appointment. Dispensary. I did want to mention a number of people when they sent in the massage were like, but not the Deshaun Watson one though.
I hate that we got to make that clear, man.
I hate that, man.
It was not no funny business whenever you mention a massage.
No, it wasn't.
Now you got to make a disclaimer every time you bring it up.
Yeah, thanks, NFL. Deshaun, Justin Tucker, Robert Kraft. My goodness.
Yeah,
that's just the NFL. I was like, if we're just talking athletes, Lamar Odom is high up on this for me.
Yeah. Oh man,
quite a run of things that happened at that point. Somebody says strippers will come to your house for a nominal fee. Thank you for your experience, 713. But also, I don't know quite what to do with that any further. Some other things. Oh, this is a question that I have for you fellas. Is this a good idea from the 832, a comedy club? Because I feel like you're setting yourself up to get roasted in your house.
Yeah, if it's just you.
I mean, even if it's not just you, like crowd work is going to be limited, and they're getting after you.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a jester.
That might be cool though, because you can make it super exclusive. So someone that you could get maybe like a Dave Chappelle or something like that. That's just only for you. That's kind of it. Kind of made me think about how Pablo Escobar, how he pretty much hired all, or he pretty much paid all these athletes to come play soccer with him. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was just like a private event with some of the best soccer players during that time. It's like, damn.
I think I like what some, for me personally, I think I would go with where some of these other people are going, which is like a fully staffed gym. And I would need a trainer as well, because my accountability is terrible. I am currently on a streak of a week of skipping workouts personally. So like, if it's in the house and there's a trainer there, I have no excuses.
Yeah.
And I'd be better about my situation.
I would like to have a juice bar in the house.
I like what you're doing there. HEB in my house, which is a great answer because HEB goes far in my, but I feel like we have a winner here. This person says one thing and I'll revise it for them. They say ATM machine, which is oxymoronic, but I think you go bank in the house.
That's a little scary though, man. You might have some people trying to plot.
Trying to run up on you?
Yeah, you might have some people trying
right.
to plot.
Fair enough. All right, keep sending those in if you have other answers.
It'd be an episode of The Town going on, man.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Twin Peaks. I feel like if you go on Twin Peaks, just go with the other people that are saying Magic City. You know what I mean? Like, just do it that way. Anyways, all right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including a note that will mean that the 18-game season not coming quite as early as we were maybe forecasting. We'll talk about that more next.